Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles.
Welcome in, everybody, to a Thursday edition of Football 24-7 here as we kick off day number two, or at least practice number two, of the Philadelphia Eagles training camp. I'm your host, Sandra Krause. Great to be with you guys this morning in a Football 24-7. We'll talk to my man, John McMullen, for a little bit as he heads down to the NovaCare Complex right now. We'll talk about that. We'll recap a little bit of day one. We'll talk about what to look forward to here in day two. And I'll give you guys some of my key takeaways from what we learned yesterday at day one at camp practice. It's always good when you have a new team to get out on the football field, to get out for the very first time. Even if you watch the videos that float around on social media, is always a very fun thing to do. So I enjoyed day one yesterday. We'll have day two today, and we'll have full coverage here on Jacob Sports all week long and all day long today, and really all through training camp, as you guys know. So hit that like button this morning. Drop your comments down below. Let's go to my main man, John McMullen, who's joining me now for 15 minutes by phone in the car on his way down the NovaCare Complex. Johnny Mac, do I got you, brother?
Hopefully. Let's see how it goes today. It's always StreamYard in the car is not the best setup, but we'll do the best we can.
No, it's not. But, John, we've prevailed for many years. We will do it again. It might be working out some kinks in the armor. It's training camp for us, too, my friend. How you feeling this morning, John? A Thursday morning, day two of practice, day three for the Eagles since they reported. What's on your mind, Johnny Mac? How you feeling?
Just getting in. I mean, Vic Fangio day. So, obviously, the defense is the most interesting part of this team with all the change, so it'll be good to get a foundation set by Vic Fangio today. So I think that's going to be really interesting. And then, you know, when we did talk about the on-field stuff, little negativity. I thought it was overblown about Kaylee Ringo because I thought he was in the position to make plays. He just didn't make them. And as I said on last night's show, I'd rather have a guy who's, you know, covering well, right, and maybe not making the play at the catch point versus a guy who's not covering well and just getting beat pretty consistently. So, you know, that's why Vic's here, to sort of clean that stuff up. Christian Parker as well, obviously, and Roy Anderson, the cornerback's coach. So there's some technique issues to clean up, but hopefully you can get there. And that extends to all the young cornerbacks, even Quinyon Mitchell.
Yep, no doubt about it. John, what time is Vic set to speak today before practice? 9:30?
9:40-ish. It's a little bit kicked back from 9:30. Day one is, you know, similar to us. Day one, there's a lot of logistical issues, plus you never know if Howie's going to, you know, 90% of the time I said Howie's going to be there, but they never publicize it because there's always a chance he's doing something and he can't do it. So there's a little bit more time because how he spoke as well.
Yep. So 9:40 today with Vic Fangio. John, what do you want to hear from Vic, man? There's a lot of questions for Vic coming into this training camp, John, with all sorts of new pieces on the defense. There's some injuries, all sorts of different moving parts on the defense this year that we've broken down extensively through the offseason and even yesterday on last night's Birds 365. What do you want to hear from Vic? What are you thinking of asking Vic, John? If the first question comes to you, where are you going?
Well, I don't want the first question because I think the first question's got to be about Jihad Campbell and his health. And, you know, I know what's going on there. So I want to lay back and ask about Cooper at safety because I think that's the most interesting part of what happened yesterday. We know he's going to be a three-down player. We know he's going to be on the field. But if you watch spring practice, he was playing corner before he would move inside the slot, and now he's playing safety before he moves inside the slot. So I think there's a lot of potential ramifications for that. And, you know, not only in the short term, but the long term as well, because we've been talking about a Reed Blankenship extension. Well, you know, what if the long-term plan is for Cooper DeJean to play safety? All of a sudden, you have Cooper DeJean and Drew Mukuba, potentially your starting safeties, both good coverage players. Exactly what Vic Fangio, in theory, would want at the safety position. So maybe that mucks things up a little bit for Reed. So there's a lot of moving parts to this. And it's not like Vic's going to answer it. And the contract stuff isn't his problem. But, you know, if you frame it the right way and just make it about football, he might give a hint that, you know, he wants Cooper at safety. Or you know, to be fair, it could be just he's looking at both and saying, all right, what's better? And as he mentioned back in the spring, you know, it's more about the other guys than Cooper because he knows Cooper can play outside. He knows he can play in the slot. He knows he can play at safety. But if you also go back to his spring quotes, he also – you know, specifically, because that wasn't even on anyone's radar at the time, specifically said, I think Cooper could be a really good safety unprompted. So that has come up in my mind a little bit more now that he's actually taking reps there.
Do you think that would be a good use, John, of Cooper DeJean at safety? I feel like he'd be a very good safety. But I don't know if it's maximizing the player's skill set. Now, obviously, different circumstances call for different measures, depending on, as you point out many times this summer, how the other guys are around him. But overall, is that a good use of Cooper DeJean, in your opinion, if he's playing at safety more often?
Yeah, I think that's the best possible use because he can do so many things. I think the worst is outside corner. That's sort of where – from taking advantage of his versatility. That's where kind of the business of football doesn't align with the on-field product.
Right.
Because the value of outside corners is higher than safeties. But to me, on the field, safeties have a much easier opportunity to make themselves known consistently on the defensive side of the football. If you're an outside corner and they don't look your way, you're not involved in the play, period. Now, safety, you have an opportunity, depending on the coverage, you know, it might be split field, but even split field is better than quarter of the field. And vice versa, and you could be single high and responsible for everything on the back end. So, that's where the business of football and the actual on-field play doesn't really align. And you could say the same thing about linebacker because it's much easier for linebackers, as you saw last year with Zach Bond, big-time linebackers, you see it every year with Fred Warner. They make many more plays than the best outside corners because they just have more opportunities.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. And Cooper's got that type of skill set where you want him involved in every play. But we'll say, I'm really interested to see what Vic ends up doing with him. John, a couple other notes today before I let you run. I know you're down there for day two today. You'll talk to Vic and you'll see practice number two for the Philadelphia Eagles. John Keeley Ringo yesterday was a big talk. I think it was way overblown. I'm not at all sounding an alarm at all on Ringo. But what are you looking for today? What type of on-field progress do you think, forget what we want to see, do you think Vic would want to see in order for him to win that job over and feel comfortable with him at cornerback too?
I just think he's got to come out and show yesterday didn't affect him, and you know, not hang the head, not be depressed, not, you know, say, woe is me. And I don't think he will. I've seen no evidence, and just get back to getting better each and every day. You're going to get beat at corner, especially when you're playing on the Philadelphia Eagles, and you got to line up against A.J. Brown or Devontae Smith a lot of the time as a starting corner. You're going to get beat at practice. So, I mean, I don't think it's going to be a problem for him, but young players, you never know how they're going to handle the mental aspect of the game. And I think, you know, he's been here for 3 years. This is his third year. But he's younger than Quinion Mitchell. You know, he came in as the youngest player in the entire NFL. So he's still a very young person. And it's a very challenging position. That's why I bring up Slay a lot and the ability to handle the criticism. And even if you see Slay and his podcast and all that stuff, he would occasionally push back on people who didn't understand, you know, what the coverages were. And because it's a position you get a lot of blame at, because if you're the closest guy to the receiver, I say it all the time, it might not even be your responsibility. You might be making up for somebody else, but all the average fan sees is you're the closest guy to a receiver streaking in the middle of the field or whatever, and you got burned. And sometimes that's the case, sometimes it's not the case.
Right.
But it's a very difficult position from a standard of you're gonna get crapped on quite a bit, especially as a young player when you are getting beat on occasion.
Well, John, the other side of it is, I mean, we talk so glowingly about the receivers here in Philly, rightfully so, both fans, reporters, and objective national analysts alike. You get a young corner at practice going to get up against two of the best receivers in football and maybe the best tandem in football. Yeah, they're probably going to get beat in practice. That's all right. I got no worry about it. We'll see how Ringo keeps developing, and we'll keep talking to you, John, about the way he's developing. John, somebody I forgot to talk to you about yesterday. We mentioned him on the show, but we didn't actually dive into your thoughts on it, is Jordan Davis. I mentioned he looks chiseled back at camp, man. I mean, he looks like he really does look good. Now, I don't know what that means, how much I care a lot more about what he does on the football field than the way he looks, but I did think it was a very positive sign. What were your takeaways or your thoughts on Jordan Davis showing up to camp looking like that, Johnny Mac?
Yeah, I know. I feel like this has been a story with Jordan Davis since he got here, and there's always the talk of conditioning and you know, he's always verbalized the need to be in better shape. But he mentioned back in the spring about falling in love with the Peloton, and that was the sort of the gauge to get him a little bit better shape last year at the end of the season, and he's continued that. So hopefully it's a positive. You know, it's always a give and take with run stuffers. It's like, well, I got to be big and strong.
Right.
But in the case of Jordan Davis, I think everyone looks at him and says, well, he could be more than just a run stuffer. And they bring up that Dexter Lawrence comparison a lot of times, which I think is unfair, because I mentioned that crazy stat about Dexter Lawrence. Over the last couple seasons, he's got 90 pressures as a nose tackle, and number two is like 27. So he's a rare player. But I think a lot of people, because of his physical ability, think Jordan Davis could be that style of player, and you want to get him closer to being that style of player. I don't know if he's ever going to get to that level, but you want him closer. And I've always pointed to Vita Vea or somebody like that in his prime. And this year it's more important because he needs to play a lot in the four-man fronts after you lose Milton Williams. So it's not a situation where you can just take him off the field all the time. You could do it sometimes as a rotational, but you can't do it all the time. So he's going to have to play more. And when he does play more, and you saw a little bit of that in the playoffs, when it is a pass, he's got to create a little bit of more of a pass rush, and he was able to do that at times. So I think there's a lot of positive thoughts on Jordan Davis potentially developing into more. But, you know, we've been through this before with the conditioning, and until you see it on the field, it's hard to say, all right, it's 100% better.
Right. This is an interesting one. It's almost a little bit of a catch-22, John, where it's like, you know, Jordan looks great, but unless his role changes and they use him more in the four-man front, you could maybe argue it's not all good that he lost that weight. Now, I know the conditioning is obviously a big thing. It's going to be great to have him more in shape. I just wonder if, hey, maybe the Eagles said to him, we're going to use you more in four-man fronts next year. We're not going to be able to run as many five-man fronts because we don't have, you know, as much depth. You know, we want you to be more versatile. And now he shows up looking like this. He's certainly more built to be a three technique or a four technique looking like that than he was last year. You agree?
Well, I think, you know, for him, it's more of, you know, I'll never see him as a three technique because he's just too big and too tall. You know, his length is a problem too.
He is big.
Need a little bit more leverage to be a really tremendous pass rusher from the interior. So, you know, I'm not worried about that because you have Jalen Carter. But he's definitely gonna have to play more in four-man fronts. Definitely. No, there's no debate about that. And the Eagles, to be honest, had hoped that he would be doing that more anyway, you know, from day one. Because when they drafted him, they thought he had more upside as a pass rusher than he's shown to date. But we'll see. You know, I've said all the time, you know, if you have better pass rushers like last year, well, why do you want him on the field? Because then you have to take Milton Williams off the field when you're rushing the passer, or even Moro Ojomo. And the same thing might happen this year with Moro, which is an interesting. I do want to talk about Vic about Moro as well today, because he was a player that really showed some signs last season. But every time Vic would talk about him, he would mention how undersized he was. So I want to hear his take there. I'm sure the Eagles gave him instructions to get a little bit bigger over the offseason, because they gave those instructions to Jalik Hunt on the outside. So probably the same thing with Milton Williams, with Moro Ojomo. But it's going to be interesting because – yeah, those two guys, Jordan Davis and Moro Ojomo, really got to step up on the interior of the defensive line.
Yeah, no doubt about it. John, I think one of the things about Jordan Davis that is not tough to comprehend, but, you know, when you think about the skill set that he has, and, you know, I know people talked about how fast he ran the 40 at the con, and I'm not talking about that, but he is a super freaking athletic big dude, which would make me feel like, you know, on the surface without ever seeing him play, which I have, he should be a pretty good versatile defensive tackle. Now, he hasn't quite been that, but he also hasn't been asked to do it as much as he might be asked to do it this year. I have some sense of confidence that he could do that. Now, I don't know what you think of that, or if you think that's reasonable or pie in the sky thinking, but he is an athletic dude, man, and he moves well for his size. I would think that he does possess somewhere in there, John, to be a more versatile DT. We'll see if Vic uses him like that this year.
Well, that's the whole reason he got drafted where he got drafted.
Right.
Because, you know, he was one of the most athletic 6'6", 350-pound people that ever existed at the combine. So that was the whole thought process. But, you know, if it were that easy, you just pick the most athletic guys. And they would turn into the best players. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. More likely, they're going to be somewhere in the middle of that. And that's where I think Jordan has settled into. And he's still young enough to where I think he could get better. And sometimes, as we said, you saw last year with Jalex late in the season, even more so with Nolan Smith late in the season. Half of it, A, is you need the opportunity. And I think now he's going to get the opportunity. So maybe it's as simple as that. Sometimes you got to wait your turn. Milton Williams had to wait his turn until Fletcher Cox retired. And he hit a home run. Now Milton's gone. And they need more help in four-man front. So maybe Jordan Davis gets that opportunity. Not maybe. He's going to get it. And maybe he runs with it.
We'll see what ends up happening there. It's Vic Fangio Day, John, which is always a very fun day at training camp because we get to listen.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2 times the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8-6-25 and 1-5-26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
The great Vic Fangio, and he always gives us a little bit more than all the other people that talk, so I'm looking forward to it. Johnny Mack, your final thought before I let you run, brother. Got a long day ahead of you, and we appreciate all the work you're doing, the insight you're giving us. Your final thought here this morning on Football 24/7.
If you're on 42 in Jersey, please get off and let me get through. I'm joking. I'm stuck in traffic, so there's my final thought.
Yeah, I heard one big motor going by. I'm like, uh-oh, did Johnny Mack upgrade the car to an 8 to a big V8? I don't know who that was that ripped by. Johnny Mack, thank you, brother. Appreciate you doing it. We'll talk to you this evening on Birds 365.
All right, thank you.
All right, there's Johnny Mack. John McMullen joining us live here from the car on his way down to the NovaCare Complex. Great segment there. And it's Vic Fangio Day, everybody, as Johnny Mack talked about. That's a fun one. That's always a good one. Vic always gives you a little bit more than everybody else, and that's a good thing. So I'm looking forward to hearing what Vic has to say. And, you know, it's another good – the other good part about Vic today is, shit, there's a lot of questions on this defense. You know, I thought that Jordan Davis conversation was pretty fascinating because, I mean, you look at this player, you look at even the way he looks now back at camp, he's all in shape, he looks really good. I mean, I'm calling him Chiseled Davis from now on. No more Donut Davis. Take that nickname, stuff it up your ass. Get it out of here. I don't want to hear that anymore. All right, I don't want to hear that anymore. What can this guy do? Like, I don't know. Like I said to John, you think about Jordan Davis's skill set. You think about the size. You think about the speed. You think about the athleticism. You think about the sheer power that he possesses with that frame. Like, I don't think he's just needs to be a run stuffer. I don't. Now, that's what he's been, and he's been really good at it. And I'm not trying to put expectations on the player that maybe they don't even want to get out of the player. But listen, you lost Milton, potentially more four-man fronts this year if Jordan can do that. And what does that do for the defense? If you can have Jordan Davis on the field in a four-man front and have a good run stuffer who can stop the run and then also have a guy who can get after the passer, do you understand what that will do for the back end of the defense? I mean, that will completely change the back end of the defense and what Vic can do to be able to be versatile back there, have different matchups, different lineups, different, you know, sub packages and all sorts of different things. So in a way, Jordan Davis is a catalyst this year for, you know, what they can do. Now, if you can only go 5-man front with him still, that's going to limit you a little bit more because you're going to go 5-man front. It's going to take another guy out of the secondary. You're going to have to play a different type of zone, a different type of sub package, and that will change what they can do. If you can get after the quarterback and stop the run with a 4-man front, I mean, Vic Fangio will be in heaven. Vic Fangio will have so much leeway on what he can do. So, in a way, Jordan Davis is a big catalyst this year. I can't wait to see what he does because I'm confident in the player. I know I've been hard on him in the past, but that's because I think I see a lot of greatness in him. I mean, I met Jordan back in the day at right before he was drafted by the Philadelphia Eagles. I met him at the Maxwell Awards, and I had a conversation with Jordan behind the scenes. And this was, I want to say this was, this was the same week that Deshaun Watson got traded to the Browns. All right, I remember me and Tone DeShields were sitting in the green room getting ready to produce the Maxwell Awards, preparing everything. And Tone looks at me and he goes, Watson got traded to the Browns and got fully guaranteed. And I'll never forget that when that happened because we talked about it so much here in Philly with Deshaun Watson. People forget that conveniently that people in Philly wanted to get rid of Jalen Hurts for Deshaun Watson. That happened. And then a couple hours later, I spoke with Jordan Davis. But anyway, bottom line was he's a big motherfucker. All right. He's a big, like when you see Jordan Davis, he's one of those dudes you're like, yeah, that guy must be in the NFL, even if you had no idea who he was. No idea who he was. So, and he's a good dude. I mean, he was a really cool dude, but I think he's got a huge upside. I really do. And I know it's been kind of a joke with Eagles fans of, you know, Donut Davis and making fun of him for not being in shape and all these different things and talking about the limited role that he's had. But, you know, here's the other thing I'll point to. Here's the other thing I'll point to that I think people got to take into account with that player. It's not uncommon for defensive tackles to take 3 years. Minimum. Like, we got Jalen Carter, and he's kind of broken us a little bit in that regard, where Jalen Carter got drafted right after him and became a menace immediately. Like, most players aren't that. Most players aren't. It took Dexter Lawrence, I think, 3-4 years to get going. I mean, defensive tackle is a spot that takes time to develop. All right? It takes time to develop. Milton Williams was never that player until year four. I mean, stop. You know, John tried to tell me that the other day, that Milton Williams was as far along in year two as Mauro Ojomo is in year two. I'm like, no, he wasn't. Milton Williams wasn't talked about as an impact player until year four in Philly. Now, he's a third-round pick, so nobody was impatient with him and all those different things, but let's let Jordan Davis build a little bit. I think he's coming in. I have a really good feeling about what Jordan Davis can be for this team this year. Now, is it optimism? Sure, it's optimism. But, you know, I like the player. I like the mindset that he has. I think what he's done this offseason is impressive. You know, people always say, oh, you know, he's supposed to be in shape. I know, but how many NFL players get out of the league in 3 years? How many? Because they're not in shape, or they don't live up to their potential, or they don't do the things they need to do. Just because it's what he's supposed to do doesn't mean that everybody's going to do it. And when somebody does do it in Philly, I think it's a good thing. You know, I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, we got in shape. I'm not giving him any credit for that. No, it's a good thing. It's a good thing. It shows he's committed. It shows he's ready to keep developing. It shows he's ready to be an impact player on our defense this year. I'm excited for Jordan Davis. I really am. I put him on the thumbnail today. Because that picture of him walking out, man, is fucking, I can't believe it. I mean, let me pull up that picture. Let me see if I can find that picture. I saved it somewhere. Where the heck did I save that thing? I got the one from yesterday I showed, but I want to find that picture. I mean, Jordan Davis at camp looks like a beast. You know what the worst thing about Jordan Davis is for me as a content maker? I guess there's a singer. Or a country guy named Jordan Davis. So anytime I look for an image of him on Google Images, this dusty singer comes up. And I'm like, all right, show me Jordan Davis Eagles. Let me get this picture of him. But I'm high on the player. I don't know what your guys' expectations for the player are, but I think he's got a really good chance to really take a massive step forward and just be a really good player this year. I mean, he has the traits. He's got the traits you want. So, and he's got the coach you want too. He's got Vic Fangio. I can't find this dang picture. I think John Clark put it up. Let me look for John Clark. I'm going to pull it up on the screen so for those who didn't see it can see it. There he is. There he is. Check this out, guys. Check out this photo of Jordan Davis. I don't know. Drop in the comments what you guys think of what his potential is in the chat. Here we go. There it is. I mean, there's him walking out the camp. There's him walking out the camp yesterday. I mean, look. I mean, that's a different fucking dude right there, guys. That's a different dude right there, man. Joe, it's a great point by you. He's a team leader. He's one of the most vocal guys. He's been talked about inside the room as a guy that people look up to. He's a leader. He resonates with everybody. He's friends with all you know, everybody. He's one of those dudes who's just kind of a chameleon. He fits in with everybody. He can talk to everybody. Definitely a team leader. I mean, Zeal goes the opposite way. He says, that's not an NFL nose tackle. Zeal, I hate to say it, but you're right. That doesn't look like an NFL nose tackle anymore. I mean, that looks like an NFL defensive tackle. A fit one at that. Maybe even an undersized one at that. Oh, shoot. So, I don't know, man. It's going to be interesting to see. But there's the picture of Jordan I saw, and I was just like, what the heck, man? I mean, that's crazy. That is crazy. It's crazy. I'm proud of him. I think it's great. I think it's great work by him to lock in and commit and do it. But let's see what he can do now. Now is the question of let's see what he can do. You know, John pointed out sometimes you lose weight like that. You know, it's not always good when you're playing on a defensive line in football. But I think with where he started to where he is now, it is positive for him. But we still got to see it on the field. And obviously on the field is a lot more important than how he looks in shorts. I understand that. But we're going off of what we know by now. You know, I love people who are like, oh, he's in shorts. I'm like, yo, asshole, that's all I got right now. All right? I'm doing the show. All right? You're chirping from the crowd. Shut up. All right? DRC. See, all these names, but I remember everybody. That's the difference with me versus Sills and John. I remember everybody. DRC, his name is now DRC Turner. What up, brother? Boy, look like he from South Florida. Is he from South Florida? I know he obviously plays college ball at Georgia. Jordan Davis, Eagles. Let's see where he's from. No, he's from Charlotte, North Carolina. The nosebleed sessions, Andrew, you're right. I disagree with that. You can be in shape and be a nose. Well, Prince, I agree with that in theory. I mean, I agree with that for sure. I'm just saying conventional wisdom would say drop a bunch of weight. You're not going to be as good of a nose where you got to take up sometimes three gaps, you know, at once, two, but you know what I'm saying, with the three to move the pocket back and stop the run. You know, look at Vita Vea, look at Dexter Lawrence, look at the big nose tackles who've been really successful. They're bigger dudes. Now, I'm not saying you're wrong, Prince. I actually agree with you that you can be in shape and still be great at it. I'm just saying the conventional wisdom is that you're a bigger dude. You're a bigger boy. He's still a big boy. I mean, that doesn't mean he's not bigger. But there you go. Gary, he's from your neck of the woods, brother. Charlotte, I love it. My God, the athleticism between him and Jalen Carter could be scary. It really could be. Now, he has to realize that. That is still potential, and at that, you know, he's got to realize it. But I'm sure he's every bit as powerful. Now, one thing I will say from back in my trading days, all right, now I work too much and go on YouTube and stream on YouTube all freaking day. So I'm not as much of a gym goer. But once upon a time, I was a little bit of a meathead. I loved the gym, and I was chiseled as hell. But there is a little bit of a line of thinking when you take on as much cardio as seemingly Jordan took on with the Peloton, you can lose strength. You know, that's why you look at some runners, marathon runners, you know, their arms are like a twig. So I'm just saying, I hope, obviously, I'm pretty sure he's still very strong. But is he as strong as he was before he dropped some of that weight? I think that's yet to be seen, and it would be fair to wonder that. But I think overall, I think he's going to be very strong and should be pretty good. But I will say that it is a line of thinking as well that I thought about, where you know, he's got on that Peloton, and that's a good thing. And his cardiovascular is going to be in great shape, and he's going to be, you know, have great endurance and be able to play all through the season. But is he as strong? Can he move the pocket as much? Can he take on two blockers as easily? You know, those are questions I think are fair. But again, overall, very positive sign for me, at least, for Jordan Davis. Well done, JD. Keep grinding, brother. Keep doing it. We need you here in Philly to be a big player. All right, the other guy I want to talk about this morning a little bit, guys, is Keely Ringo. And please, for the love of God, John always says he wants to elevate the conversation on the show. Well, how about me elevating the conversation a little bit? Please, on Keely Ringo. Dude, give the guy a little bit of time here. Give the guy. On one hand, I said this to John. On one hand, we talk about our receivers as the best tandem of receivers in football. Look at AJ and Devontae. Devontae's a top 10 too. AJ's the best in football. And I agree with all that. So you think a guy who's never really played significant snaps at the NFL level is going to come into practice versus guys like AJ Brown and Devontae Smith and not get beat at practice? Like, come on, man. That's a catch 22. Let's let Ringo develop. These are the times where you want Ringo to get beat and hopefully get coached up. All right. Do we have to keep an eye on it? Sure. We got to keep an eye on it. But I'm not ready to sit here and go, oh, we're screwed. Get a cornerback. Give it a second. Keely Ringo's played football at a very high level for a very long time. He's succeeded everywhere he's been. Now, that's not a guarantee he's going to succeed in the pros. The pros are a different beast. But we got a player with talent, with upside, and with athleticism. I think there are some physical things there that people worry about that I think are fair, you know, where, I don't know, people talk about the hips. Now, it's like every time someone says that, I'm like, fucking hips don't lie, Shakira. It's like, all right, guys, I'm done hearing about the dude's hips. But I get it. It's a big thing when you're a cornerback. You got to be able to flip the hips and move. So I've never seen evidence that Keely can't do that well, but people talk about it. People talk about it, so we'll see, you know, if that does limit him or if he does have that limitation physically, will he be able to keep up with some of the faster receivers in football? You know, maybe, maybe not. Maybe, maybe not. Yeah, Prince, there's so much that goes into this. Prince says, Xander, he can also be learning a new technique that they're trying out for him. I agree, Prince. And there's so much there, Prince, that we also don't know. You know, we don't, like you just said, maybe he is learning a new technique. Maybe, you know, there's so much that there's more than meets the eye there. Eduardo gives the face to Shakira. All right. He's oohing and on. Here's JD. He says, thank God he got beat by superstar Terrence Marshall. It's Terrace Marshall. But JD, I mean, look, he's an NFL player, dude. Terrace Marshall was a pretty damn good football player by everybody's metric until he got blown out of Carolina. Wait, so this guy doesn't succeed in Carolina, a franchise that fucking nobody succeeds in, and you're ready to write him off? This guy was a second-round pick 3 years ago. This guy got a lot of targets on a receiving corps behind Justin Jefferson and Jamar Chase. Terrace Marshall's got talent. Stop with that. Stop with that BS. Stop with that BS. Every scout picked him as a second rounder. He's fine. Is he not AJ Brown? Yes. Is he capable of beating Keely Ringo in practice? Yes. Every player in the NFL is a great football player. I think it's interesting how many people don't realize that. I do. I feel like most people in Jacob realize that because I feel like we got great fans. Maybe that's just my bias. But I don't know. You go on Twitter sometimes and you like read on Twitter and you're just like, what the fuck? You know, these are all incredible football players, man. Every one of them. You know how much of the pipeline that has been weeded out their entire career. You start in Pop Warner, and you play, you know, whatever it is at your grade, your middle school, your high school level. You know, everybody gets weeded out. You go to college, and then 95% of the college field, maybe 99%, gets weeded out. And then you get to the pros and you're amongst the 1% and people still get weeded out. They're all great players, including Terrace Marshall. Yeah, that's true. It was really number two. Jamar sat out for a little bit. He did. I think I remember that. All right. Donald, I'm with you, brother. He says, Ringo, give the man a chance to be great. Donald, we here on Jacob aren't writing off Ringo after one fucking practice. All right? No. Give the guy a little bit of time. Give the guy a little bit of time. I'm still confident in him. I still think he's going to be a good player. Now, is it a slam dunk that he's going to be good? No, it's not. He's got to earn it. He's got to, you know, grind. I think somebody brought up a point about training camp last year with N'Kobe Dean. Let me find that comment. I think I saw that somewhere a second ago. Where is it? Shoot, here it is. Josh Morgan. What's up, Josh? Dean struggled in training camp last year, and look what happened. It's true. I mean, nobody should be making any sort of sweeping proclamations about what a player is going to be in training camp. Nobody. R. Anthony says, I'm 46. I'm still high after 2018 win. This is extra for me. I love it. Icing on the cake, brother. Icing on the cake. Flexin says, Huff is a solid football player, but I ain't calling him great. Well, Flex, it depends how you look at it. Amongst NFL players, maybe he's not great, but amongst the vast majority of people who've ever picked up a football in their life and tried to play, he would be great in that regard, okay? He'd be great in that regard. That's funny shit, though, right there, Flex. Callie, baby, that's all it takes, dude. Listen, Callie, here's the thing, though. This is the truth of the matter. This is also partly why I love Philly. It's why I love being a Philly fan. It's why I love being from around here. It's why I love the people of this city. You know, it's predictable. It's predictable. All right? It's predictable. Martez says, why you act like he a rookie? Well, that's fair. It's year three. I mean, he's got to get going. But, you know, he's had Slay in front of him. He's had last year he had Quinion and Coop. Like, he was really never even close to the top of the order. You know, year one, remember Martez. And I think your point is fair because he is in year three. You know, it's not like he is a rookie. It's not like it's Makuba out there. But I do think that Ringo, he's 23 years old, all right? He turned 23. You ready for this? He turned 23 a month ago. All right? He turned 23 a month ago. Now, that means going into year three, he's had NFL seasons where he's been 21 years old and 22 years old. Now, that's not to say, okay, he just deserves all the time in the world. I understand. But he was drafted very early. He really was. If he stayed in college another year, for my SEC fans, for the any Georgia fans out there who are listening, you all know very well, as an Alabama fan, I know very well, if Ringo stayed in school, one, it would have been other SEC teams would have been not very happy about it because he was locking them down like crazy. And two, he probably would have been arguably a first-round pick, maybe a second-round pick. So he slipped to the fourth round, came out a year early, 20 years old when he got drafted, 21 for his rookie year, and 22 last year. So now he's 23. Like, I know he's not a rookie, but I'm certainly not ready to like, yo, are we effed? Are we screwed? Like, let's see. It's still possible it doesn't pan out, but Vic has said this since last year that Ringo needs the reps. Yeah, I agree. Ringo has 6 starts. Is that what he has, Dank? I was going to look that up. Negadelphians don't like developing. They think he should be an all-pro coming out of the box. Well, please, you're not wrong about that. You're not wrong about that, Twiz. It goes into what I just talked about with Philly. You know, Philly fans, I love us, but yeah, we are goofy sometimes. You know, remember Brandon Graham? Obviously, everybody remembers Brandon Graham. That story. That's what I said about Jordan Davis earlier, too. Like, guys, it's not a sexier player, you know? Like, give him some time. He's a defensive tackle. They take time. They take time. JD says it's a contract year. He's got to show up or shut up. Well, you're not wrong about that. But are you ready to make that proclamation based on day one of camp? I don't think so, right? All right. JD again says, and look, JD, I appreciate it because you're playing a little bit of devil's advocate. I appreciate, and I'm good with that. I don't like to be stuck in one line of thinking. I always like challenging thoughts and challenging opinions. I think that's a good thing and a positive thing, especially on a sports show. He says he was bad in 23 and he couldn't beat out Rodgers, but y'all keep saying one practice. Yeah, I mean, he was. You know, he didn't beat out Rodgers. Now, John always points out the difference between being a starting cornerback and a backup cornerback, where you need different things out of different players, because Ringo was obviously a great gunner and stuff on special teams. So, but you're not wrong. I mean, we obviously have to keep an eye on it. We obviously have to keep an eye on it. He was not bad. Everyone was bad in 23. Yeah. Well, we'll see. JD, I don't think you're off base. Basing off 2 years, I think he could be a player, but he's got to prove it. There's no doubt. There's no doubt. So we'll see. I think it's all good things though there. But I did want to say, I did just want to talk about Ringo from a sense of, let's give it a little bit more time. All right. The next thing I want to talk about, guys, this morning is a little bit of Cooper DeJean. This kid is going to be a star in Philly. He already is. He already is a star in Philly. But as I say that, does anybody not like him playing safety? I'm just going to throw that out there. What do you think of him playing safety? What are your general thoughts about Cooper DeJean, All-Pro Coop, as some of you are calling him in the chat, that A.J. Brown's dubbing him. What are your thoughts on him playing safety? Do you like it? Do you not like it? Is it a good use of his talent? Is it a bad use of his talent? I'll tell you what I keep hearing. This is what I keep hearing in my head over and over again. Ready? Cooper DeJean is not a safety. He's just a quarter. He'll lock down your number one. I mean, come on. I think this guy's better than that. Let that white boy play cornerback. Let that white boy play cornerback. Come on, man. What do you guys think? Let me take some comments on Cooper DeJean at safety. All right. Let me take some comments from you guys. They're going to have to make a remix now. Jimbo, I will not listen to the remix. I will not listen to the remix. Cooper DeJean is not a safety. He's just a corner who locks down your number one. I mean, come on, man. Come on, man. I think he can be great at whatever. Well, I feel that too, but I want to get the most out of him. Yo, Callie, you know I love you, Callie. But I hate your Cooper DeJean takes. I've hated them from Jump Street. Cal, you were the one in the chat a year ago. He used to say, there's no way that white dude can play cornerback on the outside. Callie, I remember. Callie says, this kid's a safety. I've been saying it since day one. You have, bro. You have. But I'm not buying it yet. All right? I'm not buying it yet, Callie. I got it. I'm just having some fun with it. I know it is a good way to keep him on the field. I get John's point of, if you stick him on the outside, you can't have him involved in as many plays. And so I get that. I get that. I do think he's a versatile player that you obviously want in the mix. So from that perspective, I understand it. But come on, man. Come on, man. Yo, Callie, I need to airdrop you the file of the song. Callie, when you're in the car today with your wife and your kids, who I met, all beautiful people, you got a beautiful family, all right? Instead of listening to me, I give you permission, Callie, to to load up the Cooper DeJean song, all right, and blare it on your speakers and put it on repeat. All right, Callie, you need to break yourself out of the thinking that you have. Cooper DeJean is not a safety. Come on, Callie. Come on, man. Dr. Omar Simpson. What's up, Dr. Omar? I like that. He says, which position will allow him to get paid the most? Not safety. Not safety. Corner. Look at what those corners are making. You see what Sauce Gardner just signed for? You see what Derek Stingley signed for? By the way, that's a $6 million jump in 1 year. Pat Surtain became the highest paid cornerback last offseason and makes $24 million a year. Sauce Gardner, Derek Stingley are making $30. There's no safety making that. Highest paid safety is, I think, is now Kirby Joseph, who just got 21 or 20 million a year. I think 21. All right. Rome says switch Coop to safety versus white wide receivers. Clearly is kryptonite. You're right. The only guy he got. Wait, Rome. This dude gets burnt toast by Adam Thielen. 33-year-old Adam Thielen. But Jamar Chase can't run a swing route on him, man. Come on, Rome. Are you kidding me, Rome? Jamar Chase can't get by Cooper. Jamar Chase can't even get by Cooper, but Adam Thielen's got him in a blender. Oh, my goodness. This dude's locking down Jamar Chase, but don't put Adam Thielen on the other side of him. Holy shit, man. I'll send it to you, Callie. Do I have you on Twitter? I do, right? I got you on Twitter, right? That's funny, man. Let me go back and look at some comments about it. Here's my boy, Secunda, the flying Mayan. What up, Secunda? He says, Cooper DeJean is now a safety. He's still a corner who'll lock down your number one. There you go. DeJean is safety one, knew his white ass could run. That is funny, man. Z, spend the money for singing lessons. I don't give a... Big Mike, do I look like the kind of guy that needs to learn how to sing? Come on, Big Mike. Come on, brother. Prince says, safety is the right position, to be honest. Think of him like Kyle Hamilton. Different in my eyes, Prince, but I get it. Different in my eyes. Dang says, Cooper DeJean is sometimes a safety. Yeah, it looks like it. And look, what? Shout out to Curtis, who's complimenting my singing, and Big Mike's telling me I need lessons. Come on, Big Mike. I know you enjoyed it. In fact, you might have took a clip of it on the YouTube. You downloaded the audio, and you're the one who's now playing the song on repeat. Hashtag free Cooper. Hashtag free Coop. Free Coop. We'll see. All right. Eduardo says, Xander out here dancing like all white people dance when they hear Don't Stop Believing at a wedding. I hate that song. Stupid ass song. Don't stop. I'm like, all right, enough, cornballs. Come on, man. Even I can't buy that. How you doing, Xander? Another W stream. Let's go, Steven Seth. Thank you, brother. I appreciate it. We'll see. We'll see where Cooper DeJean lines up. I think he's better than that. I really do. I think this dude's got a chance to be a really special football player. So I'm not mad at him. I'm not doubting what Vic knows. I think Vic is obviously gonna know how to use the player to get the most out of him. But I do not want to put a ceiling or a limit on what Cooper DeJean can be. Okay? Because I truly think Cooper DeJean can be a fucking great football player at every position in that secondary. So if that's outside corner, put him at outside corner. If that's in the slot, put him in the slot. If you need him at safety and base, I don't love it, but put him there. I'm good with it. John had a good explanation about putting him at safety and why there actually is advantages to that for keeping them in the middle of the field, keeping them close to the play versus at corner, you know, you're locking down a corner of the field, you know, a quarter of the field. You're not, you know, it's different. It's different. Dank says, I'm black and I love that. Why? Just because I'm a white guy, I got to like a song? Yo, Dank, don't put me in a box, Dank. Come on, man. And what? A black guy can't like Don't Stop Believing? Come on, Dank. Come on, Dank. A black guy can't like a little Don't Stop Believing? Come on, man. There you go. He's putting the lyrics in. I think it's funny. Checkmate says, I think bro is a weapon for real. I agree. I agree. He's definitely a weapon. Why don't you like safety? It's just as important. I think it's more of a JD. I don't know. I will admit, maybe there's a little bit of me wanting to see that white boy thrive at corner. Because think about it, JD. Nobody talks about the white safeties in the league. I mean, Cooper DeJean plays outside corner for one play and everybody's going nuts. Holy shit. When's the last white? Who's the last white cornerback in the NFL? Does anybody know? Is it Jason Sehorn? Is that who it is? Now, by the way, for those who are going to like cry about this, I hate the race shit. I really do. I believe we're all human beings. Obviously, race is something that we all have. It's all inherent to who we are and how we were born and how we grew up and all those different things. I understand all that, but I've never viewed life from a lens of race in the way that the world views it today. I think it's kind of out of whack, but I get it. I mean, look at the way people talk about it, man. Look at the way people talk about it. Is it Jason Sehorn? Is that it? It is, right, Neil? Eduardo, you're funny today, Eduardo. You must have had a cup of that Brazilian bowl today, Eduardo. Come on, man. Is it Sehorn? Was he the we oppressed for cornerbacks? Yeah, JD. That's why I want to see Cooper DeJean get out there. Come on, Coop. Come on, Coop. I think Coop can do it, man. In fact, I think Coop would be damn good. He would be damn good. At least that's what I think. All right. Curtis says, Z, Vic sees Coop as his Dawkins, wants him in position to make plays, doesn't care what the title is. I think you're right, Curtis. I think that's probably how it is. Look, this guy says, I sound drunk. Stop yelling, moron. George, go to a new show, nerd. I don't give a fuck what you say. Who the hell is George Lewis 5740? And what have you done to tell me what to do? Come on, George. We shall overcome someday. The Caucasian corner. We will see. We will see. I really just want the best defense. So I know it's all in good fun. I know we've had some fun with Cooper DeJean and I get it. But really, I just want the best defense. And I do feel like Vic is going to give us that. I think he's going to put us in the right position to have that. But I don't know. I still don't love Cooper DeJean at safety. I won't lie. I still don't love Cooper DeJean at safety. But we'll see. We will see what ends up happening with Cooper DeJean. All right, another guy I want to talk about. So we talked a little bit about Ringo. We talked about Cooper DeJean. Did we talk about Jahad Campbell? We'll get into him a little bit. But the other guy I want to talk about this morning is Jalux Hunt. All right. I'm not going to go crazy on the comparison that Jordan Mailata made talking about the burst and how it compares to Micah Parsons or any of those things. But, you know, I actually think the more important thing that Jordan Mailata said wasn't the comp to Micah Parsons in terms of burst. I think the more important thing that he said was that guy's going to be a star. And John has been telling me, for those Birds 365 listeners who have been here for a long time, all right, you know how much John goes back to A.J. Brown speaking highly of Kelee Ringo. All right, you know it. I mean, John has basically based his confidence in Kelee Ringo on what A.J. Brown told him about the player. Now I hear the best left tackle in football who was graded as the highest player in the NFL. Forget left tackles, forget offensive linemen. The highest graded player in the NFL. Jordan Mailata says Jalen Hunt's going to be a star, and he's going up against them every day in practice. I'm feeling pretty good about what Jalen Hunt can be. All right? I'm feeling pretty good about what Jalen Hunt can be. Now, I don't know what you guys feel about him, but I do feel like we got a really good potential on the edge with him and Nolan Smith. I think Jalen Hunt is got everything you want. It's pretty impressive how quick he's developed and grown. Oh, look, my boy is back. All he wants is attention, so I'll give him a little attention today. C24, I owe you. It's been 1 year, C24. You come here every single day on a new account so that you can talk to me. You're in love with me, C24. You got pictures of me on your wall, C24. You love me. You love me, C24. And I love you too. I own you. I own you. Nerd. Dude comes in here every day for a year. This creeper is creeping on my sisters, creeping on all these different. This guy is a weasel who would never show himself anywhere. That's why I used a voice cover and didn't show his face when he joined the show last year. He's a nerd. He's a nerd. Guy's got 1,000 accounts so he can talk to me, and he says he owns me. Ah-ha! 1,000 accounts. You got to be kidding me. You got to be kidding me. I love you, C24. I hope you get to a phase in your life where you are a little bit more comfortable in your own skin. I really do. Let's get to some super chats. I got some super chats this morning. Thank you to all of the great people who super chat on the show. Helps us a lot and helps us grow and helps us obviously keep the lights on, everybody. Keep rolling. Keep making content for you guys, for the great people of Jacob Nation. So I appreciate that. Ready? Dill Locke says, how does Campbell look so far? And what about Sidney Brown and Keely Ringo? Well, we just talked about Ringo extensively, Dill, so I won't go back down to that road. But Campbell, I think it's positive. I mean, I don't think we can make a big proclamation about how he looks as a football player, but I think it's very positive that he's out in the field. It's very positive that he's out in the field. I mean, nobody expected him to be out this early. It's late July, and he was practicing yesterday. Like, Dylan, I'm kind of starting to think Jahad Campbell could be ready for week one. Like, I'm thinking he could be ready for week one, which would be a massive thing. Which would be massive. Neil, the answer to that question is yes, he did. JD checks in. What up, JD? Even if JD just plays the one tech and four-man fronts and is decent, that's a huge improvement for him, and I'll be happy for him. Yeah, but if you're going to be in a four-man, you're going to need him to play more than the one tech, dude. You're going to need him to play more than the one tech if he's in a four-man front. You're going to need him to be a little more versatile than that, JD. At least I think so. Now, I get where you're coming from because it would be a big improvement even just having him in that four-man front more often. But I don't know. JD, let me ask you something. Do you really – and I want your honest answer, and I'm good with it either way. I'm good if you agree or don't agree. Honestly, do you believe inherently that Jordan Davis possesses the talent needed to be more versatile than a nose tackle? Do you believe he has the talent? Like, there's always a baseline, right? People in this chat might know how to play, but they don't have the talent to play football. I don't have the talent to play nose tackle in the NFL, even if I know how to position and I know it like I know the back of my hand. Do you believe inherently he has the talent and the skill set to be more than a nose tackle? I do. Now, I don't know. Maybe you don't. I believe it's in there. I believe Jordan has what it takes to be more. Now, he has to realize it. He has to get to that point. But do you believe he does? That would be my question for you. That would be my question for you. I'll look for your comment. Dylan Locke again. Thank you, Dylan, for the super chats. He said, what do you think of the new edge rusher, Ogbo Okoronkwo, or whatever his name is? I don't know how to say that name. I have zero thoughts. I would be lying to you if I gave you a thought, because I have not looked into him. I don't really know much about him, but let's do it together. Ogbo. Here we go. Let's check him out, shall we? I'm going to check him out together. Let me pull up the screen. Let's check him out together. All right. Here we go. Here's the player. 30 years old. So some experience. Looks like a fucking big dude. All right. 6'2". Let's see. Here we go. Eagles Wire's got some fun facts from Jeffrey Knox. My boy Jeffrey Knox. Thank you, Jeffrey. I hate these ads on these websites. All right. I thought he was going to have bullet points. Okay. He could have been a great NFL writer. He's of Nigerian descent, often referred to as Ogbo for short. Born in Gainesville. All right. Down by the University of Florida. Community leader potential guy. And not the best takeaways here on Eagles Wire. Sorry. I don't know. Let's look at his stats. Let's look at his stats. All right, so he started his career with LA. He was in Houston last year. He played in 22. He was in Cleveland last year, played 16 games played. He had 3 sacks last year, 4.5 in 23, 5 in 22. So a decently consistent guy. Let me look at how big is he? He's 36'2", 250. So not the biggest dude in the world, but not the smallest guy in the world either. So I don't know. I don't know much about him. I mean, other than what we just read together, I don't know much about him. But I don't know. Could he be some sort of a rotational piece at some point? Possibly. Possibly. We'll see. We'll see. Terrence Bond checks in. What's up, Terrence? Next time Dan laughs at Jalen being the face of Jordan, tell him he's got the most views on Jordan YouTube channel, 10 million in 4 months. He has the face of Jordan. Everybody knows that, Terrence. Even Cilio knows that. Dak Prescott's not the face of Jordan. Stop. Stop. Terrence, appreciate the super. Pin 9617. What up, Pin? AJ Dillon stinger scare me. Do we need a running back? They scare me too. I mean, remember, and Penn, if you go and read the way it worked too, not good. Happened, I believe, late December 1 year. Okay. He tried to come back, was shut down for the year. And then he went to training camp the following season. And then in training camp, this was last season, in training camp, he got another stinger. And then he missed a whole year after that. So he really hasn't played much football since the first stinger. So I don't know. That's definitely something to be concerned with. But, I mean, we got Saquon. Am I really going to sit here and worry a lot about running back 3? You know, I hear you, but I'm not worried about it. JD follows up. He says, Xander, I think JD can do more. I don't think he's getting a bunch of sacks, but I think he can stuff the run, head up center, or either guard. I agree. I think he can be a good pass rusher too. Maybe not a sack artist. But I think he can push the pocket and make life tougher for quarterbacks. I do. I do. So we'll see. Alex Anzalone having contract issues. There's a lot of teams all over the place having contract issues, man. So we'll see. That's the positive side for the Philadelphia Eagles, right? We'll see. Was there a brawl? I didn't see that. Martin got Yankees Phillies today. Is that who's playing today? Martin, I hate to say it, but it's Eagle season now. I'll still watch the Phillies. I'll still lock in. I'll still get some games. And I watched the Red Sox game last night. Thing never ended. I was like, oh my God. Game. Come on. I think that game went into the 11th or 12th inning. But yeah, I mean, I'm more locked in on the Eagles, all right? One, it's where I make my money. Two, it's where our channel's audience is. And three, it's the team I like the most. Like I was saying the other day, man, football is still the only sport left that gives me the goosebumps, the butterfly. It's game day. When it's game day, I get goosebumps, you know? I'm like, ready for kickoff, and I'm like, my, like, stomach turns still. Like, I don't get that feeling in any other sport. So I'm excited, man. I'm really pumped for the Eagles season. I think they're going to be really good again. I think it's going to be a fun year again. So I'm looking forward to it. Anyway, that's going to do it for this morning's show. remember, we got a whole night show tonight still. We got the National Football Show from 2 to 6. I actually don't know if I'm going to be on Cilio's show today. I have I got to go to the dealership. I got a service to get done on my car, so on my C8. So I got to go and do that. I don't know how long it's going to take. We'll see. Preston says, you go to games or watch at the crib? I watch from home because we do a pregame. I don't know if you were here last year, B. Preston, but we do a pregame show, postgame show, halftime show. So, you know, I'm working. They're work days for me. They're not really celebrations for me. Tony, I got the 7500 service, the transmission service. So I got filter and I'm doing fluid. Filter and fluid. I'm doing both, Tony. Eduardo, I'm not cutting it early. This isn't Birds 365. Birds 365 is 6 to 8 tonight. This is a special added piece of content for your enjoyment and your entertainment, Eduardo. For your entertainment, Eduardo. Abe says, paid for by the dealer. Well, it shouldn't be, but it is for me. So I got on the phone. I had to make some phone calls, Abe. Been a while. What up, Z? Fly Eagles Fanatic. What's up, man? 600, Prince. That's soft, brother. That's 1600 on those C8s, the transmission. Dual clutch transmission. Filter change is about 800. If you do filter and fluid, you're looking at about 1400. So I called the dealership and I said, all right, listen, this is what I need from you. I worked some angles. I got the service manager on the phone. I called the Corvette tech who I know over there. And I'm getting a good deal on it. Yeah, they're expensive. Well, listen, you don't buy a C8 Corvette and not expect to have to service the car, right? You know you're going to service the car. So I'm excited. I'm actually excited to get it done. I'm excited to get it done. JD's agent hoping he hits open market money. Joseph, he will get a lot of money in the open market. That's for sure. Dan, do you think Big Joe would do a say? He would do it for sure. The problem is, Abe, I got to produce everything. I'm the only one on this channel with all the content that we have. We're live for 6 hours a day, maybe even longer. All right. Eduardo, I already got the vet. Oh, you weren't here when I got it, I guess. Eduardo, I got the vet. You got to go check out my other YouTube channel. But of all the content that we have, only one person knows what to do on the back end, even in the slightest bit. No one knows how to make a thumbnail. No one knows how to make a YouTube title. No one knows how to do a description. Nobody knows how to do anything. This guy, George, thinks I'm drunk. George, I haven't drank alcohol in 2.5 years since my brother's wedding. It's the last time I had a sip of booze. I don't drink. I don't like drinking. I never like drinking, and I'm not a drinker. George, take the day off, my friend. George, go home and get some sleepy rest. Take the day off, my friend. Take the day off, my friend. You need it. Yeah, I think George might be an alcoholic who's projecting it. 10 for me. Well, good. Congratulations to you, if that's true. Kimberly says, I'm starting my own podcast. I had no clue how much goes into production. It's all day. Kimberly, people don't understand that. It's all day. I literally sit at my computer all effing day. All day. And the worst, here's the, well, it's good. I'm not complaining. I love it. I'm all good. I'm happy with where I am. I'm happy with what I do. I love what I do. I love the community. I love making content. I love being on camera. But the worst part about it, Kimberly, is I'll sit there all day, right? 6:30 in the morning to 10 o'clock at night. And when you get up from your desk, this is the worst part, Kimberly. There's always more things you can do still. Always. Like you never get, you're never, I'm never, I've never had the feeling I'm done. I did it all. No, there's so much more you can always do. And that's the worst part. I'm leaving money on the table still. I should have shorts. I should have all sorts of content. I need to hire a producer bad. Like bad. I need a guy with like real, like I need somebody that I don't want to train somebody. Like I need somebody that knows how to churn out content or knows how to take content and make the most of it. That's really what I need. So. Busting your balls, kid. All good, George. I appreciate it, man. I appreciate you being here. I appreciate you being here. Teach me the stuff, Z. Flex, it's a lot to teach, bro. It's a lot to teach. It really is. Like, I need somebody that's going to come in and just fucking content machine. Flex, I don't know if you weren't here for this, Flex, but... So when I got my C8, and I have another YouTube channel, so go subscribe to it. For those who are not subscribed to it, I'm going to put the link in the description. If you like cars at all, you'll like my other YouTube channel. I got more content coming. I'm trying to film more, but I'm very busy right now this week. But when I got the car, Flex, and I started making videos on my other channel, my ZK's Garage channel, I was telling the people, my dream job, Flex, is I love being on camera. Right. Like I like to be on camera. I like to be filming, especially outside, you know, when I'm doing the car stuff, it's a lot like this is fun, but I am in a studio. I'm behind my computer. Like it's not as fun as being outside in the open. You know, I got different cameras on me. I got microphones. That's really fun. But my dream is for the content to be recorded and then it gets delivered back to me ready to post. Like I hate putting it in the editors and color grading it and fixing your audio. I'm like, oh my gosh, I wish I could just be on camera and have everybody else handle all the files and the content, the media, and the videos and the audio. But that's a part of it. It's a part of my journey. It's a part of my process. So I don't dislike it, but the goal would be that. All right, get to that point. Get to that point. So, but shit, I'll record videos all day, dude. All day. I got no problem being on camera. No problem being on camera. Orange interior is fire. Abe, you got to see Tony. Let me pull up a picture of Tony's vet while we're giving Tony. Let's give Tony some love. Tony, let me find our text. Tony's vet's crazy. I got to give him credit, man. Tony's vet is nuts. Tony's vet is nuts. Let me find this photo. All right, here was one. There's two. There's three. I mean, this car is so badass. Tony, we're pulling up your vet. Get ready. So for those who know me, and maybe those who don't know me, it's funny that I got a white Corvette because I would have never... predicted. I would have never predicted that if I got a C8, I would get white, right? I would never have predicted I would get white. Like, it's just, it doesn't sound like what I would get. I like colors. Like, I would get a color. Now, I ended up with a white. I do love my white. But when I see Tony's, I'm like, holy shit, look at that thing. Oh! A Hysteria purple goes crazy. Look at that thing. Let me pull up the interior, too. I love the interior picture he's got. I mean, that is a beautiful C8. Look at that thing. The Hysteria purple with the black wheels, with the black and orange interior. Wait, let me show you the interior picture. I love these cars, man. I love these C8s. I'm proud that they're American, too. There's a picture of his interior. Wait. C24 is back attacking my dad because my dad's worked hard in life. I'm sorry you don't have a good relationship with your pops, brother. I hope it gets better. I hope you figure it out in life. I really do. I really do. I feel sorry for you. And then look, this is the other picture from this angle. Look at that, man. Beautiful car. Beautiful car. Yeah, he's got the HTC, which is the hard top convertible. So Really badass. Really badass car that Tony's got. Tony, shout out to you, brother. Me and Tony might link up in August and go to Tony, I think I want to do that Corvette, the Carlisle Corvettes thing. There's like a Corvette show out in Carlisle. So I think I'm going to go to it. I think that'd be pretty cool. It'd be pretty fun to do for my channel too. You know, to video all the Corvettes at the show, at the car show, at the Corvette show out there. So I might go to that. I got to see though, Tony, with training camp, my schedules are crazy for sure. So a Kelly Green Corvette, should I wrap it? Should I wrap it? Wrap the white? Nah, I'm not gonna. That's really a shame. A grown man wakes up making burn. Hey, listen, they love me. Flex, what can I say? They love me. They love me so much that they want to spend all their time making new accounts so that I can read just one comment from them. Flex, if I can read, just read one comment, then I made their day. Flex, I know you see the power in that. If I read one of their comments, man, they get off. They get off. Hilarious, Flex. It's hilarious. It's funny and sad at the same time. It is. All right, everybody. I love all you guys, man. Including you, C24. I love you too, buddy. I love you too. All right. I appreciate each and every one of you. It's been another fun show today. All right, we're going to have a nighttime show tonight, 6 to 8 p.m. for Birds 365. National Football Show with Dan Cilio will be from 2 to 6 today. And the Eagles are on the practice field. Vic Fangio coming up soon in about, I don't know, 15 minutes or so. So Vic will be talking here soon, all right? And I think that's a good thing. I love when Vic speaks because Vic always gives you a little bit more than the other coaches who are a little bit more politically savvy, all right? Not that Vic's not politically savvy. I just think he cares less, right? I think he cares less. So I'm looking forward to it, and we should have a great year, everybody. I told you all this yesterday, but lock in because I truly believe we're at a special time with this season, with this team, with this franchise, and being a fan of this team, it's a fun thing to be. So we're all in a great spot. I think the team is in a great spot to at least have a really good chance to go back and repeat as champions. So thank you all for being here. Hit the like button. If you liked the cars, if you're one of those people that likes looking at the cars I put on the screen, shout out to Tony, his car today. Go and subscribe to my other channel, ZK's Garage. All right, I put the link in the description a little earlier, and I appreciate that. And subscribe here on Jacob. We'll have Eagles content all year long. So I appreciate each and every one of you guys, and I'll see you next time. On, I guess this is Football 24/7. Thanks, everybody.
EAGLES, Eagles.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.